How many today are consumed by grace? Are you being consumed by grace? I tell you, this series is such an important series and the foundation of our growth. And remember the last series we did on the journey. How many remember the journey? We talked about the different bridges that take us in our journey of growth. And one of the first bridges we talked about was this bridge of grace. And so now we're spending some time talking about grace. And as a Christian, this is the most important, I believe, the most important foundational thing that you can have a comprehension of and a great understanding of is this word grace. And where does it mean in my life? Where does it fall in my life? And we have to have a great understanding. We've talked about the righteousness of grace and how Abraham says God accounted to him righteousness, that God gave it to him into his account, and that we realized in our life that God in our life takes our account as full of sin and takes it and deposits our sin in his account and takes his righteousness and deposits it into our account. That's the great righteousness of grace, that God gives us righteousness. We don't earn it. We never earn it. And we talked about unchangeable grace, how the grace is unchangeable. God's grace is unchangeable. And then we talked about the marriage of grace last week, how we are married to grace. And it's such an awesome thing to know today that if you missed last sermon, you need to go back and really go online and listen to that and catch up with what's going on, because it was a life-changing message, I believe, because of the factor that realized that we are married to grace. Some of you need to be married to grace. How many has ever been married to the devil? Anybody been married to the devil? Don't raise your hand. I'm not talking about your ex-husband now. Come on. This is what I'm talking about. We're talking about being married to grace. And we were married to the law. Scripture teaches that we were married to the law, that you and I were married to the law, but it says this, that we cannot be separated from the law, because the law lives how long? The law lives for how long? Forever, right? The law lives forever. So if I'm going to be married to grace, then something must happen. According to the law, if one of the partners dies, you are free to marry. And so the law doesn't die. Who dies? It's you and I. That you and I die. It says that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that what? All things become what? New. That we identify with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. That's why baptism is such an important key of the Christian walk, because we're making a public identification with the death, burial, and the resurrection with Christ. And so today, we know that we have been married to anew, free to marry to anew, and that is the marriage of grace. Now today, I want to talk to you about this thought. Are you a child of grace? Are you a child of grace? Now, if your mom's name is Grace today, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this today, that you and I are children of grace. If you are a Christian, you are a child of grace. If you're going to understand and be consumed and to be focused on grace in your life, there's got to be some things, some basic questions that have got to be answered in your life, that you and I have got to answer. Really, I believe two questions have got to be answered if we're going to fully comprehend and understand grace. First of all, number one, what is really true about God? What is really true about God? Every one of us have got to answer that in our life and find out really what is really true about God. I'm not talking about something that you was passed on from tradition to tradition. And well, my dad did this way, so I do it this way. I'm talking about for yourself, you learning and having a understanding of what God is and who He is and what He thinks about you. I tell you what, you cannot understand grace if you can't understand this point. That you got to fully understand who God is. Also, the second question, you got to understand what is true about you. What is true about you? What is really true about God, and what is really true about me? What is true about you? Who are you in Christ? Who are you? These are questions we have to answer. I cannot answer this for you, but you've got to have an understanding and realizing this question and answering this question if you're fully going to be consumed by grace. Now, today I'm going to be talking out of Luke chapter 15, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I've talked about it several times and have preached on it, but today I believe it's such a relevant key to grace and where it fits today into this sermon. In Luke chapter 15, we see the story. Don't go there yet, guys. If you want to wait, just go back one slide. In Luke chapter 15, we see the story of the prodigal son. And in the story of the prodigal son, we see where the son comes to his dad, who was quite wealthy, and says, "Dad, you're not dying soon enough." He says, that's what he says. "Dad, you're not dying soon enough. I'm looking at my inheritance here." and there's a certain car that I want. Dad, I'm looking at my inheritance here, and there's a certain lifestyle that I want to live. Dad, I'm looking at my inheritance here, and there's a certain way I want to live my life, and it's not what it is at home. And since you're not doing anything as far as dying fast enough, can I go ahead and have my inheritance now? I mean, what a great son. Some of you mothers on Mother's Day, you got any sons like that, okay? You know what I'm talking about. He says, Dad, I really, really need my money now. And so the Word of God says that the father gave him his inheritance. And it says the son left the father's home, and as he left the father's home, he went out and lived a prodigal lifestyle. Basically meaning he went out and partied it up, man. He was out there, you know, in Vegas, and he was out, he's the last one, you know, to close the doors tonight. He was the first one to open them up. He was out there living a party lifestyle. He blew it on everything from drugs to gambling to women. He blew his money. And it says that he found himself blowing all of his money. And when he blew all of his money, of course, all of his friends disappeared and left him. Isn't it like society, isn't it? Your friends are around you when you got the money, when they got things you want. But when you really need a friend, your true friends, you thought were your true friends, are really not your true friends, are they? They'll leave you in a heartbeat. And he found himself working for a pig farmer. Now, this is disgusting, especially for a Jewish man, a Jewish boy, a young man at this time, because he was not even allowed to touch anything unclean. But he finds himself living with the pigs, man, in the pig pen, feeding the pigs. He said, told the farmer, said, hey, if I can just let me feed your pigs, I'll kind of at least just eat with the pigs. And so he was eating what the pigs were eating. That was his pay for working. I mean, he went from living the luscious style of his dad, man. I mean, he was living high on the, all right, that's not going to find himself, to the bottom of the hog pen, man. He went from high on the hog to bottom of the hog, to feeding the hogs, to living with the hogs. And he finally does this one thing. Let's pick it back up now in verse 17. You want to bring it up. But when he came to himself, let's stop right there. Some of you parents, this should be shouting grounds for you right now, if nothing else. If you have teenagers today, I want you to know there is hope. It says that when this young man came to himself, other translations say when he came to his senses. But when he came to his senses, when he came to himself, he said this, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Now, this kind of reminds me of myself growing up, that any time I thought I was really busted, and my dad didn't know about it, but I thought he was getting me to find out, I was already rehearsing in my mind what I was going to say. Dad, I'm your son. I don't know what I was thinking. And man, I just had this really ignorant thought. Dad, this, I know I shouldn't have known better. Dad, you have raised me better than this. I mean, I had the speech all prepared. This kind of reminds me of this. This guy, this young man, he's practicing a speech in his head. And you notice what he says here. He says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I believe today that's a really big key. Because many of us, we live our life thinking the same concept about God is that we think that God, that I have disgraced you so much. How many know today that when this young man took his father's inheritance and left, it wasn't just the sin of taking his father's inheritance and saying, I'm going to leave my family. But you know what he also did to his father? He said, Dad, I know it's my responsibility to take care of you. As in custom of that days, and as it is still today and should be, it's as custom of the kids to take care of the parents as they get to be older in life. And especially in that day, it was driven from the time they were early age. They had to realize their responsibility was to take care of the father. The father takes care of you, but one day you're going to turn around and receive everything he has, but in return, you're going to take care of him in his old age. You're going to work the land. You're going to take care of his servants. You're going to take care of his household. You're going to take care of what needs to be taken care of. That was the duty of the sons. And so for him not only to take his inheritance and leave, but not only being a person who lacks immaturity and who just said, yeah, just give me my inheritance now and being selfish, but he also looked at his dad and said, Dad, take care of yourself. See ya. I mean, to you, I don't know about to me, that's one of the top 10 sins right there. How many has ever committed the top 10 sin in your life? You may want to raise your hand and say, I've committed the top 10 sin. Yeah, I've been there. I've probably committed a few 10, you know. But on my list of top 10 sins, if there really was one, I'm just thinking a list here, but if there really was a list of top 10 sins, this would fall right there in the top 10 of things that could be one of the worst things you could do to disgrace your family in such a bad way. This young man takes off and he says, "Dad, I don't want to no longer be called your son. I'm leaving from you. I'm dismissing myself from my responsibilities of a son." I mean, this is huge. It's just not the immaturity here, but it's also him basically saying, "I'm becoming an orphan, Dad. I'm cutting myself away from the family." Let's keep reading what it says here. "Make me like one of your hired servants." And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. Wow. And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father," here he goes, "Dad, I got the spiel already ready, Dad. I've been practicing all the way here. I've had a long time to practice this, from the pig pen all the way to here. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son." Well, how many of us feel that same way? "God, I'm not ready. I'm not even worthy to be called your son." Look what it says. "But the father said to his servants," this is a big thing, because the father didn't even acknowledge what the son said. You see this? The son's, "Dad, I'm not even worthy to be called your son. I'm not even worthy to be called your son." He was going to ask him and say, "Dad, can I just become one of your servants?" He didn't even get a chance to ask his dad if he could be a servant. What happens? The dad turns to his own servants and says this, "Hey, my son's here." But the father said to his servants, "Bring out the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hands." Boy, these are big things, because what does a robe represent? It means royalty. It represents royalty, his heritage of the family. The ring represents what? That was their gold platinum Discover card right there. And they wore the family emblem. They could take that and imprint, and they could buy what they wanted. They could charge what they wanted. So, man, he said, "Come on, bring out the best robe. Open his charge account back up to his family. Put the sandals on his feet and bring the fatted calf." Now, this is Missouri, so that translates, "We're going to have a barbecue." That's what it says right there. "We're going to have a barbecue. And kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." I believe today, if you're going to have a full understanding of grace, that many of us here, we fall under the same category as this son. That he saw himself, basically there's three different ways. And I believe that every one of us here, that we see ourselves as different ways here. This son said, "I didn't see you, Dad. I see you, Dad, and I can no longer be worthy to be called your son. I just want to be a slave." Well, I got some bad news for you. How many has ever said, "I don't feel worthy to be called God's son or daughter"? Anybody here can relate to that? I can relate to that big time. Anybody else can relate to that? Come on, be honest. Come on, we're real here, right? We can all relate to that. I don't deserve to be called your son or daughter. I got some good news for you and some bad news. The bad news is this: you're right. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. We do not deserve to be called a son or daughter of God. But the good news is this: he calls us that anyway. He's already paid the price. He's already established it in the ink with his blood. He's already paid the price and has established you and I as a son and daughter. And as bad as we are, he opens up his grace to us. He chooses to run to us. We see where this father ran. And you've heard me talk about the importance of the father running before, and how it means that this father was a person running for a man of his age. It was not kosher, right? I mean, it was not a good thing to do. It was not the thing of society. A man didn't run, because when he ran in those robes they had, you seen, come on. He was exposing his good side. You know what I'm talking about, okay? It was not a very politically correct thing to do that day for a man to run. But this man, he didn't care. He took off and he ran to his son. He ran to him. God runs to us. Now, somebody asked me before, they've asked me, "Can you fall out of grace?" And I said, "Yes, you can." I believe you can come out of grace. And I believe this young man chose to walk away from the grace of the Father. He made a conscious decision that he was going to walk away from the grace of the Father. But when he made a conscious decision to come back to the Father, the grace was still there. And it covered every sin he had ever committed. It covered everything he had ever done. You see, grace is so much bigger, and we got to have a full understanding of God. And so today, I want to talk to you as we continue just for a few more minutes here. I'm going to let you go because I know some of you guys got some great dinners going on this morning for Mother's Day. So I'm not going to hold you long. I want to talk to you about three things real fast today. Orphans, slaves, and sons. Orphans, slaves, and sons, because really, this story talks about these three things. First of all, the young man chose to be an orphan. He chose to orphan himself from his family. He chose to orphan himself from his father, choosing to walk away, choosing to do this. He was hoping to go from an orphan to a slave. God, Dad, can I at least be a slave for you? But he had this orphan mindset. We have a generation today that's full of orphans. If you have your ear to society, you see and read and see what they're saying about this generation, between the, especially those in between ages of 20 and 30 right now, they are being called the lost generation. Because this generation cannot commit to anything. It's not committing to relationships, not committing to a job. It can't commit to a school. It can't commit to anything. And they're always jumping around because they're not finding anything to believe in. They're not finding anything to really sink their teeth into. We're not finding hope in anything. That's why in this last presidential election that that generation rose up and played such a big part, because someone stepped up and said, I got hope. Someone just even promised them hope. Someone just even mentioned hope, and they're like, where, what? I mean, this generation is looking for someone to give them hope. They're looking for something. They're a fatherless generation. They've got, many of them have been raised without a lack of a true father in the home. And if you have a father, he maybe wasn't there the way he should have been. So they're looking for what is real. What is something I can believe in? What's something I can sink my teeth into? They have no commitment at all. And we're seeing this time and time again in this generation. They don't commit to a lock. They're looking for hope. It's our job as parents. I know it's Mother's Day, so let me throw this in right here. It's our job as parents, moms and dads, to look into our children and to see the way that God has created them, and to pull that best thing out of them. I am not called to shape my children into the way I want them to be. As hard as that is for me, and it's hard. I make mistakes sometimes, and I try to form them the way I think. I've got, as a good parent, I've got to learn to look at my children and bring out of them what God has put inside them. As much as it pains me to say this, not all of my children may like football. Heaven forbid. I know, it's tough. But I've got to look and see which one likes music, which one likes sports, which one likes the books. And no matter what, you're all going to take the books, and you're all going to do well, and you're all going to study. But I know you're going to become different things in life. And it's my job to help pull that out of them as a parent. We bring into them the hope of what God has put inside them. And we have a generation who is orphaned, and they are looking today. Orphans have a hard time accepting grace because nothing has ever been given to them gracefully. You ever think about that? We have people who have been orphaned here before, people here in this church, that you grew up an orphan, that you grew up in and were didn't know who your parents were. And you know that you had to work hard for everything you got in your life. You worked hard, but nobody gave you anything, and you have a hard time accepting things freely because nothing's free in life, is it? You got to work hard for everything, and you got to earn everything, and you have a hard time understanding grace because you've never received grace in your life. That's how you feel. And so people who live in this orphan mindset, either because you didn't, maybe you chose to be an orphan spiritually, but maybe you didn't choose that. We have a hard time accepting God's grace because we don't see anything as given freely. We don't see anything. And so we have this mindset that even when we come to God, that it brings us to this, that we orphans feel abandoned. Orphans feel abandoned, that there's nobody really going to be there for me. Let me say this to you. You are not abandoned today. Maybe you're here today, you need to hear this very clear. You are not abandoned. That God gave his life for you. He loves you. He saw you in the womb with your mother. You were not an accident, as much as you may think you were, as some may have told you that. God loved you, and he still loves you today. And as an orphan mindset, we got to get away from that, because the orphan mindset takes us to number two. It takes us to be able to be a slave. Well, you know what? I can accept God, but I'll accept him only if I can be a slave. because I got to earn my way. I've got to earn my keep. I got to earn God's love. See, we had this mindset. And so the orphan goes from a person who, you know what, if I do accept God's grace, then I've got to earn it. And so we step into this mindset of a slave. And we think that everything we do is earning God's love. It's earning that He loves me. It's earning my position in the family. That my position in the family is based on my works. It's kind of that middle child. You know, the middle child always works to outdo the younger one and the older one. And so they work extra hard. Right, Matt? Pastor Matt can tell you that same thing. We talk about that. He had a lot of kids in his family, a lot of brothers and sisters. And so we talk about the middle children really working hard to outdo the older brother and those who are younger. And so this is kind of the same mindset that we come into as a slave. He said, Dad, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, but I am. Can I just be a slave? Can I just work my way into the family? Can I just work as a slave? We think that same mindset. Many of us here today, we think that God's love for us is based on our work. And if you've heard anything over the last 3 weeks, you know this to be so far from the truth, that our salvation and our grace that God gives us is not earned, that we are not a slave to nothing, that He has set us free, no longer a slave to the law, but we are set free by grace to be a part of the family of God. That God loves us, and we do not have to be a slave. We don't have to come into God with that mindset. Some of us here, we come into that same mindset during worship time. God, I want to worship you, but I just didn't do enough good things this week. I had a bad week, and so I'm just not good enough to raise my hands. I want to, but I can't raise my hands. I can't do it. I didn't do enough good things this week. That's a slave mentality. That's what Satan wants you to do. Satan talks in your ear, man, you're not good enough. You'll never be good enough. You better do more good things. You better work harder. You better do this. It's a slave mentality. We believe our position is based on things that we do and we earn. Slaves believe if I stop performing, that God will move His attention to somewhere else. Isn't that so true? Slave mentality believes if I stop performing for God, that He's going to love somebody else more. That He's going to move His attention somewhere else. And listen, God's affection is upon you not because of what you're doing. God's eye is upon you and affection is upon you not because of your good works. It's on you because He created you and He loved you. In spite of your rebellion, in spite of your rejection of Him at times in your life, in spite of the sin you committed, in spite of the horrible things on the top 10 list of sins that you may have done in your life, He loves you anyway. That's grace. That's grace of the Father. He loves you. And we go from becoming a slave to becoming a son. Look what Galatians 4:1 says. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave. What's he saying here? Now, the heir, the person who has the father's inheritance, a person who is a part of the lineage of the father, as long as he is a child, he does not differ at all from what? A slave. Though he is master of all, but is under the guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, look what it says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the what? The law. God was born to a woman who was under the law. To what reason was He born under law? He had to be born under the law so He could come and redeem those who were under the law. He was born under the law to a woman who was considered under the law to redeem those who were under the law, that we might what? Receive. Oh, this is awesome. Some of you got to catch this today. Look at this again. That we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of sons into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. Listen, there is no slaves in God's kingdom. We do not earn God's love, and we will never earn God's love. We have been set forth to adopted into the kingdom of God, and we are called now sons, heirs of God, heirs of the kingdom, children of the Most High. Man, you are royalty today. Look at the person next to you and say, man, you look good for royalty. You are royalty today. If you are a children of the Most High, and look what it says here. Your sons into your hearts crying out, Abba, Father. How many know what Abba, Father means? Some of you, it's not just a band, you know. It's just not a band that was popular in the 70s, but it's actually a great name for God. That Pepe means this, Papa, Daddy. Daddy. God says this, I'm also dad. Why was he saying that? Because he was talking about the relationship of the Father and the Son. And when he looks at you and I, not only is he our Redeemer, not only is he our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he also looks at us and says, I'm also your dad. And if you know a relationship about a father and a son, about a mother and daughter, then you know the relationship of the parent. Think about that. How many times have your kids done some boneheaded things and you still love them anyway, don't you? I mean, our kids, they do make mistakes all the time. We make mistakes all the time, but God still loves you in spite of it. We were adopted into the kingdom. It's a heavy thing. Melissa, can you give me a second, babe? I was trying to get your attention during worship so I could talk to you about this, son. So we haven't practiced at all. My daughter started her first job this weekend. I'm so proud of her. Yeah, she started. Yeah. Now, it's okay if I talk, if I'm open. Sure, I'm putting you on the spot. I'll pay you later. Don't worry about it. Sorry. Okay. For many of you know that Melissa was adopted into our home at the age of 4. Now, this is an awesome thing because it really, her and I have had this great relationship over the last 12 years. Ups and downs. But one of the things we've had to work through is this process of her place in our home. She's had to work through this as a child and come to know this. And I remember one time that when she was about 12 years old, that, you know, the inevitable was going to happen at some point, that her stinking little brothers and her were in a fight. And one of the brothers looked at her and said, well, you're not even really a part of this family. You're adopted. Now, anybody's ever been adopted, you know that comes out at some point during a sibling rivalry with someone who's been adopted. I remember Melissa very upset and crying. And so after I took care of the boys and talked to them and punished them, I went downstairs to talk to Melissa. And I remember she had dried her tears by then, but I jumped on the bed there with her and sat down next to her and began to talk to her. And told her a story about, again, how we chose to be her parents. And I let her know that those thinking brothers of hers, I didn't have a choice when it came. I had a choice when it came to her, and I chose it. And I said, I would choose it every day the rest of my life. I would choose you to be my daughter every time. And as a matter of fact, you can look at it and say this, you know, I got to choose you. I was stuck with them, okay? See, that's the difference between birth and adoption. I chose her. And we've had a great relationship ever since then. Never had a problem, right? Okay, all right. Love you, honey. Love you, babe. You can see it. But see, that's the difference. That's the difference between adoption. Realize that God chose us. He wants you. He wants you. And man, this son had done probably the worst thing he could ever do to a father. And he came home thinking, I just want to be a slave, Dad. I just want to be a slave. And his dad said, he didn't give him a chance to ask to be a slave. He said, my son's coming home. Let me show you what grace is all about. Bring out the robe. Bring out the ring. Let me run to you. That's the grace of our Father today. And so many of us here today, we fall under one of these three categories. So when you're here today, you see yourself as orphans. You've chosen to be away from God. Or maybe you didn't choose to be away from God and you just have found yourself there. And this mentality has been a hard time for you to understand that God can give you such a fully the grace that he loves you. Others of you here today, you've taken a step from being an orphan to saying, I want to be a part of the family, but I just got to be a slave. I just got to be a slave. And we see ourselves as a slave. God, I earn your love. God, I earn my salvation. God, I earn your grace. God, I earn. And God's like, you don't earn anything. You don't earn anything because I have freely given you grace. And so he's called every one of us to walk and to be a child. He's adopted us as sons. He's adopted us as daughters to the kingdom, as heirs of the throne, that we can have everything his kingdom has to offer. We can live the best life that he has for us. We can walk in success. We can walk in blessing. We don't have to walk in the cursing of family curses. We don't have to be just like our parents. We don't have to be just like the people before us. You can change things in your life. You can change things in your family because you have been adopted into the kingdom of God. Today, we got to get our mindset and realize that we have been adopted. And I am a child of the King. I'm not a slave. I'm not an orphan. But I can walk into that children mindset that I am a child and heir of the throne of God. Let's bow our heads this morning. Today, you may be here and say, Pastor, man, you're talking about this mindset of children, of adoption, slaves, being a child of God. Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I've been right there. I'm an orphan today. By my own right, I've chosen to just walk away from God's family. Or I've chosen to never be a part of God's family. And today, I want a new beginning. Today, I want to make a new mindset that says this, that I am ready to walk and become a son or a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to accept God's grace in my life freely today. I want to make sure that heaven's my home, and I want to walk and know what it means to be a Christian and live for God today. I want to believe that he's Messiah. I want to accept his love and forgiveness in my life. If you're here today and you've never prayed that prayer before, or maybe you prayed that prayer a long time ago, and it's like the prodigal son, you turned your back on God, and today you say, Pastor, I'm ready to come back, and I want to renew my commitment to Christ. If you're here today, no one's looking around, and I will not embarrass you at all. But you're here today, say, Pastor, I'm ready. I'm ready to be a son and daughter. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Can you just raise your hand where you're at and say, that's me, Pastor, I'm ready. Thank you. Anybody else today? I want to raise your hand. Say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready. Make that decision. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these people today? Say, I'm ready to make a life-changing decision. I want to welcome back into the family. Or I want to become a part of the family. Today we had those who raised their hands. So we're going to all say this prayer with you today. And those who raised your hands, I want you to pray this prayer. And really mean it from your hearts. We say it together. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Be Lord of my life. I give you everything I am. I give it to you. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And I will live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer today and you meant it. We say, welcome to the family of God. Let's give them a hand clap, yeah. You prayed that prayer today. When you leave, if you go back to our welcome center back there, we'll have a special gift for you. It's got a Bible and some other things to tell you what to do next, some things to help you along your journey. It's very important. If you don't have a church home, you find a church home. Be plugged in with people who love you and support you. And we'll help you along this journey. Let's stand to our feet today. How many are looking at me today and say, Pastor, I don't want to be a slave, but I want to be a son and daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to be a child of grace. Anybody here today say, that's me, Pastor? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, isn't that awesome? Well, we're our children of grace. I tell you what, that will change the way you live, isn't it? It changes the way you live when I realize who my daddy really is, when I realize what he's really given me, when I realize how much grace he's really given my life. It changes who I am. I can't help but change as I am consumed by God's grace. I want to pray for you today. Let's just lift our hands one more time. If you feel comfortable doing this, you can join us. Father, with our hands lifted up today, we say this. God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we thank you today, God, you have given us so much grace and mercy in our life that you call us sons and daughters. Even when we walked away from you, even when we betrayed you, even when we've done some of the top 10 sins in our life, God, you choose to forgive us anyway. And we don't have to come back as slaves, as second-class citizens, but God, you adopt every one of us into the kingdom of God. And God, we thank you today for that adoption process, which brings us back into the family of God. No longer to be held accountable, Lord, to the things that we've done in the past, but God, that slate is wiped clean, and we can walk freely into a new kingdom and to a new relationship with you as sons and daughters. God, may today, may we live as sons and daughters of the Most High. May we realize the importance of that. May we step up, God, and begin to live a life that focuses upon grace and focuses upon your goodness in our life. And we thank you for that grace. And we say together, amen? Amen. God bless you today. Thank you for being here. Remember, if you want to be baptized, turn that in the very back in the Welcome Center. Pick up that free CD for you. God bless you. You have a great Mother's Day. We got some free roses for all the moms. So moms, stop and get those roses before you leave today by the doors. Get your mom a rose. Take it to her. That's for all the moms. Stop and get those roses. Amen.